Now tell me about your crew.
We met after, like when Ray and I left Shepherd Field, Texas, we were flight engineers. We all met in Salt Lake City. That's where they assembled the crew. That's where we met Jim Bainham and the co-pilot, Charlie, and the flight engineer that was Howard Bolt, who just died recently.
Yes.
In Houston. That's where we all met. But we didn't have a navigator and a bombardier yet. We picked them up later. But that's when Ray and I found out we weren't going to be flight engineers on a medium bomber and probably go to the South Pacific. But we weren't too happy about it. But that was at Salt Lake City. Then from Salt Lake City, we went to Colorado Springs to do our training on B-24s.
Who was in the crew? Who else joined later on?
Jim Bainham. Charlie Boswood was a co-pilot. When we finally got the navigator, it was John, he's from Kentucky. It's on the tape.
Oh, okay.
And Hector Scala was the bombardier.
Scala, okay.
And Bolt was the flight engineer. He was shot up worse than I was when he, he was just getting into Bombay waiting to bail out. And he got shot in the leg. And of course, Bosquet and John, the navigator, they were two of the ones that were shot. And the radio operator was Jim Fields from California. And he was murdered. And then the other waist gunner, Nick, opposite from Ray Lemons, was Olin Bird. He was kind of a Texas farm boy, not very well polished or not rich. And the last Ray and I saw of him, he was sitting down on the floor of the airplane under the waist gun and kind of looking at us. And we don't know whether he, and the plane was on fire. We don't know whether he was afraid, and we had the door open, the camera hatch door open to bail out. And it was right there too. And I remember looking at him, and I remember Ray saying, "Come on, Bird, come on." And he said, "No, no, no." And we don't know whether he had a bullet in him or something, or whether he froze, was scared, but all we know is we think he went down with the plane. And to this day, Ray and I were the only ones that saw him, and we don't know why, whether he had a funny look on his face, but he wasn't dead. But he, with all that stuff on, he could have been bleeding interior, and the plane was raped with cannon shells and shrapnel. The plane was in bad shape and on fire, so we don't know about him. He was just a real quiet guy, and all he did, he'd just gone to gunnery school. He hadn't gone to any mechanic school or anything like that. He was strictly a... And then we used to have a ball turret when we went
right.
up. And we had a ball turret gunner. His name was Ed Lord. And about the, I don't think we even flew maybe one mission, and then they took out the ball turrets because we had better escorts. And,
yes.
And the missions were getting easier, and that thing created a drag, and we could go a little faster. So we rotated. And Ed Lord happened to be the one that day that didn't fly. When I didn't fly, he flew the tail turret. And when Ray didn't fly, he flew a waist turret, a waist gun. So he was the one, and he went ahead and finished all his missions. Stayed over there for a couple years, I think, in ordnance.
Which mission was that for you?
Eight. It was different for some of us. It was my eighth, but I think it was Jim's tenth. We rotated, like I say, I lost one there. And then one time at D-Day, right after D-Day, the pilot, the co-pilot, the flight engineer, and I think they took Ray along on that one. A bunch of them flew over a gasoline over to France. They got credit for mission, I think, for that. So we were on the same crew. We had different, but I think eight was the minimum. But I always, people ask me how many missions I went on, I always said 7.5.
Was that after D-Day, or was that in September?
September was after D-Day, yes.
Right, but when they flew the gas over to France.
Well, that was sometime during our eight missions. Our first mission was in August, so it had to be in late August or September.
The reason Jim mentioned that, and my father's tank battalion had run out of gas because the gas was being diverted to the British in Operation Market Garden in Holland, and they had delivered gas in a B-24, you know, to the...
They could have taken the B-26s over there, too. They
right, had, but no, but it was... It was the
these things held so much then.
But he had mentioned that, and that was when they needed gas at the front lines because they were with Patton's Third Army, and they had stalled.
They made one mission on doing that, and it's possibly over that period of two or 3 weeks, they might have got two missions in, I'm not sure. But there was no reason for a tail gunner to go because they weren't going over into enemy territory. They were just going over across the channel. And I remember Charlie, the co-pilot, got some cognac while he was over there. I guess he got drunk on it, too, because I think they stayed overnight or something, time they unloaded the plane and all that, and had to fly back, and he had a ball. He was a character. Somehow he died. He wrote me a letter after the war. I don't know why he didn't write it to Jim or who, but he wrote me a letter about 20 years after the war. And we didn't know each other too well, because he was a... I was an enlisted man,
right,
and he was a co-pilot, but it was a weird letter, like he was having mental trouble or all mixed up or something. And I wrote back and told him, if there's anything I can do, let me know. And I was working, I never thought of trying to go over and see him, but we weren't that close. He was close to Jim, but about 6 months later, he was dead. And I think he committed suicide, but his family wrote us.
Oh, that's a shame.
When I was a prisoner of war, my mother got some information from the Air Force, the Army Air Force, of the addresses of all my crew members. And she wrote to all the wives or mothers or whatever to find out how many of them were alive and how many of them were dead. Because I was the only one that was missing in action. All the others were accounted for. Either they were dead or they were POWs. But I wasn't accounted for until one of my little letters from Germany, which I still have, all those letters, arrived at her house the following March after the post office, after the mail carrier kept telling her, you might as well quit writing, all your letters are coming back. And then when he got that letter that morning, when he got that letter that morning, he got in the car and took it right to her house.
And that's the only way.
And then she called up my mother, and that's the only way they knew that I wasn't dead. But I've got all the letters my mother wrote to Jim Bainham's wife and to Hector Scala's mother and all those, and they wrote back who was missing and who was a prisoner of war and who was a KIA.